As a reminder, the information provided in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek advice of your therapist or qualified mental health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or mental health disorder. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast. The host, guests, and podcast network are not responsible for any actions or decisions you make based on the information provided. Now, let's dive right in. Hello, friends, and welcome once again to everybody's favorite therapy-themed podcast. This is This Changes Everything. I'm your host, Sarah, and with me this week is a renowned certified addiction therapist, spiritual healer with over 20 years of experience in the healing arts. It's Audrey Hope. Audrey's gentle yet firm approach in addiction therapy and relationships has garnered her widespread recognition and accolades. Through her unique blend of spiritual modalities and traditional therapy, Audrey guides her clients to the root of the root in their souls, facilitating profound transformations, I'm going to do this intro again, and inner peace. Join us as we explore Audrey's journey and her groundbreaking methods and transformative power of healing addiction and relationships. Welcome to the show, Audrey Hope.
Sarah, I'm laughing because there's a part in the intro that says gentle but firm. And my boss calls me, I've had many different titles, but now I'm called the hammer.
Okay.
I was called the Buster, and they used to say, enter my office at your own risk, because I am a New Yorker, but the gentle approach, but firm, I don't know, more firm. And
well, I'll tell you, I listen to your interviews and I listen to your videos, and there is something about how you speak that instantly makes me feel calm. And so I think that you have a gentle presence about you. And you know what I think it is? Is you have a very centered presence. You are very, it seems like, somebody who's connected to who they authentically are. And I think that comes out, and I can only imagine, is what makes you so successful in working with people in so many different avenues, especially addiction and trauma.
So profound that you say that, because if you are talking about spiritual tools, you have to be extremely balanced, because people say, oh, what is that airy-fairy stuff? So like, I'm like, give me 5 minutes and you'll see that there's nothing airy-fairy about it. It's extremely common sense and grounded. So I have to be that way because I work with a lot of addicts, and a lot of them are, some people are very Christian, very religious, and they don't want to hear it. They think we're going to come in and we're going to like talk to Jesus. And I'm like, no, we are going to solve issues in a different way from the root of the soul. So it's about the soul, which I think is the missing piece in healing. It's not psychological. It's the soul, which is a higher level of looking at things.
Yeah. You know, it seems like there has always been this big disconnect between the medical field, the mental health field, and spirituality. When the more I talk to people, the more I've been working in this field, the more I see, and even going through medical stuff myself, that it's all connected. It is all energy. It is all, there is such a connection between physical, mental, and the spiritual self. But those all exist in like three different worlds, which makes it very hard for us to kind of bring that together without being very intentional about it and maybe having some information on that connection. So tell me a little bit about how you bridge that gap.
That is amazing, because I have been so challenged and so inspired to work with medical professionals, because I work at Seasons, we work in a team, and I love to crack a little bit of like their belief systems. Because when they see the changes in a person and they see it quickly, they have to go, oh my God, maybe I should look deeper into what I believe and expand my point of view. So I have loved that challenge working with the medical profession. That has been one of the things that I've had to go through for a very long time.
Yeah. And for our listeners who are unfamiliar, Seasons is like the premier rehab facility, treatment facility in Malibu. This is where you are the, like, for the stars. Like, this is where they go. Correct?
The team is incredible because it's a pie. It's like a pie. There's not one healing modality. There's many. So that's what's so great. So when someone comes in, we all participate in the diagnosis from all different levels. And that's so healing to work as a well-oiled machine. So yes, Seasons Now is an amazing team. And now they have real trauma stuff like EMDR, just all these new modalities. So we'll get you from every end. And so my contribution is kind of a thing of like, maybe something you didn't think about. Maybe there's an energy piece. Maybe there's a past life piece. Maybe you need to talk to your relative on the other side. Like, I wanted to be a one-stop shop because I really wanted to make a transformation that was everlasting. So if you're suffering from, let's say, a relative who passed, how about talking to them?
Yeah. And this is something that's so common in other cultures. Like if you talk to anybody from South America or anybody who has like for a Latin culture, they're like, yeah, we talk to their dead relatives show up all the time. And it's like normal. And even in grad school, you know, and learning about like cultural competency and different backgrounds, if somebody comes in who goes, yeah, you know, I'm talking to my dead relative. You're like, yeah, that's a thing. And we're going with that. And in environments and spaces where those ideas are accepted and people are open to them, they use them and they're so beneficial. But I feel like in so much in Western medicine and where how we are today, we're very much like, no, if we can't like find it in the DSM, it's not real. And I think that does a big disservice to a lot of people who need that deeper healing, you know?
Yes. And maybe some people have tried everything, tried yes. those modalities in the DSM. Mm. And then they come in and offer this other piece, which is talking about the soul, about why you do what you do, really, what you came to the earth to heal, your yeah. soul lessons, and especially in relationships. And, you know, it always comes down to relationships, right? People yeah. want to know, why am I with this person? Or why can't I meet someone else that's different? Why do I always choose the same one? So it's really good to look deeply, I say, from a higher map above and figure out why you're here and what the patterns are from the level of the, you know, earth school. I call it earth school. We're in earth school.
Yes.
And we're, you know, you want to know why you have these parents, yeah. why you have that. So the question why, spirituality could answer that. Soul healing could answer the why.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how, about for our listeners who are like, you know, I've had, and I'm very open to this for if I'll share this, our listeners may know this and I would love you to know. My mom is a practicing psychic. That's what she does. She works in Costa Rica and she's been doing that for years and it's how she pays the bills and she's very successful. And it's interesting because I've been very skeptical of that my whole life growing up and when want to be like, I don't know. So I went the science route and I studied psychology and I got my master's in marriage and family therapy. But it is undeniable that there are messages that I feel like I receive from and when I'm sitting with clients and even in grad school, our professors, I remember it was our last semester and my professor was a guy who's Mormon. So you wouldn't expect the Mormon guy to be teaching this, but he did a whole a lecture on serendipity and how there will be moments where you will just get this feeling and you should just go with it. And he gave us examples from his own work and just little signs that he gets and like these little feelings of intuition. And I've used them in my own practice and just, you know, you just feel like a download almost. And you talk about it. And when I say this with some people, they're like, oh, that's very like hippity dippity woo woo stuff. Like, I don't know, that doesn't belong in the therapy field, but it feels like this is something that if you understand energy or if you are connected to it or feel it, it's almost impossible to not bring in there. So for our listeners who maybe are a little more like not like maybe like you and me who are accepting of this spiritual side of life, what would you say is the connection or like that spiritual
you mentioned tools, right? Okay, so we need to be practical. Okay, so I say, okay, why don't we experiment? You know, we know what's not working, right? We know, you know, if you've come in with the treatment, we know what's not working. Okay, so why don't we just clear the deck? Start with like a white, clean page. And just give it a month. And just let go and get out of the way. And watch what comes into your life. Watch the calls that come in. Watch the signs that come in. That will lead you to life purpose. Like people think that you have to go do in order to find out what your purpose in life is. It's actually opposite. You have to surrender and you have to let go. And if you do that, an answer will come. You will get messages. But the problem is we're always in the way and we're always busy and we're always distracted. So you got to try and experiment. You know what? I'm going to let go, universe, if a month or two. Let me see what you bring in. It's so interesting to see people will get calls, jobs will change, friends will call out of the blue. So the experiment is a great tool to try something new and let go and let things come out of the blue. For me, everything that's really been so special has come out of the blue without me, the right people, you know, even finding a relationship, a soulmate. Get out of the way.
Well, let's take a quick pause from our conversation to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart recently, and that is my healthy skincare routine. You know, there is nothing like feeling confident in your own skin, and that's why I have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. You know, their products make it so easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. And I don't know about you, but I don't want this like complicated skincare routine. They have simplified everything. There's no multiple step protocols. It's just simple, scientifically validated solutions. You know, I use their OneSkin moisturizer and their cleanser, and that's like all I need. And I have noticed such a difference in my skin. And then when I also hear other people talking about it online, it makes me feel really cool that I already know about it. I'm already using it. It's great. So OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. And by focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. So get started with 15% off using code TCE at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code TCE. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. And please support the show and tell them that we sent you. All right, back to our show.
That is one of those things that I can just imagine, like our anxious listeners or even myself, who's like a thinker, an overthinker, a ruminator, somebody who's like, I know how to get out of the way. Let me think of 1,000 ways that I can get out of my own way. We're almost doing the opposite. What does that actually look like, getting out of our own way? Is it changing our thoughts? Is it changing who we hang out with? What is that in... practice.
It's changing your perspective about manifestation. Okay. Manifestation doesn't come through, it's like planting a seed. Mm-hmm. When you plant the seed, you let it go and you don't watch it every day and go, you know, God damn it, why didn't you grow? It's like that. And manifestation comes when in a different way. You say the opposite, an opposite energy of letting it come to you. And we're so busy, I call it do-do. We have too much do-do. And we are here to learn about beingness, okay? So we have to understand it is an opposite way. Stop working so hard and trying so hard. Of course, that's good, but it will come through a back door while you're working in this thing. Whatever's right for you will come to you. So it's a perspective change. Change your perspective, change your life. I wanted to show you something today that really affected me so deeply. Yeah. I mean, I'm practically like going everywhere with this book, and I have it here because I'm not finished with it yet. Do you know this book?
I don't. What is that book? The Choice?
My client was reading it. The Choice is by Edith Eva Eger, who was in the Holocaust. And she has become one of the greatest healers. It has been her perspective. What got her through? I mean, she was in Auschwitz. What got her through Auschwitz was her mindset. She thought differently. She said, oh, tomorrow it'll be better. She dreamt about food when there was no food. She imagined that one day she would be able to eat at a banquet. And she has inspired me so much that I think everything's changed. I know Viktor Frankl, you know, who wrote The Search for Meaning, which is another classic, one of the 10 best books of all time. But you got to change your perspective. And I change my perspective on addiction. When people come in, I'm like, stop the shame and stop the guilt. This has been a doorway to enlightenment. So if you look at it this way, you will have dignity. And you will go through fast transformation because so many people come in with shame and guilt and the idea of punishment. When you change that, the healing can really begin. Because it's also self-criticism. That's the worst thing about suffering.
Yeah, that all shame and guilt is such, powerful.
Yes.
And so intense.
It's in our programming as human beings. And so when I track and I go into the soul, I always look for the part when you're like the primal piece, when you divided against yourself and you turned against yourself and you began to criticize yourself. So it's not what other people do to us that is the problem. It's what we do to ourselves because of it. So it's the abandonment of the self, which is the spiritual piece. And when you can't really change sexual abuse, right? But what you can do is you can do a soul retrieval and take back your energy from what happened in that abuse. And that is the powerful piece that I love to help people with, is you take back your liquid light, your energy, and you take it back. And I do that with relationships too. You know, if you think of yourself as 100%, right? How much of your energy did you give to that relationship? And people will tell you, they will say 90%, 80%. So you got to get back from that level. Otherwise, you'll be a wounded bird and you won't be able to manifest a new love.
Oh, that makes me want to cry because like you like touched a nerve, because that is the thing that I think I carry a lot of shame and guilt. We've talked about this in past episodes, that I'm a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. And then as an adult experienced it. And it's something that is, I work at every single day to try to not let those.
Let me tell you a perspective.
Messages of the past, kind of like, I knew it. I was like, what's going to happen in this episode is it's going to turn into therapy for Sarah. And hopefully people will be able to understand that this is a very common, like, I think what I've gone through, so many of our listeners have also experienced and also connect with as being survivors of some kind of trauma. So I hope that this, you know, I knew it. I was like, I'm just going to let her like be the therapist for me right now, because
I'm not going to
this.
I'm going to call the absolute empowerment of you. Okay. So what happens is, let's just say before we come to Earth, we choose our classes, like we choose our courses in grad school, right? Some of us choose a lot. But we forgot. When did we forget? About age 5 or 6. We forget. Like I say, we're kissed by the angel of forgetfulness. And we come to Earth and we're on 3D. People who have what you're speaking about spiritually are the warriors. They have chosen a lot in this lifetime. Because if you can get over that wound, the power that comes from it is extraordinary. You see? So that's what I need you to know. You chose a lot because you wanted to do a lot. And so if you can know that from the level of that, like I'm always attacked. I'm always battling dark forces because I want to do a lot. So it's the same thing with you. So if you begin to look at this sexual abuse as sort of an initiation into the return of yourself, it will begin to translate into the amazing power of the goddess that you are. And so that's the piece that I offer.
Yeah. Thank you for that. You know, it makes so much sense, because anytime I've you know, I was on reality television and I did these competitive reality shows and I was successful in them. And people look at me and they're like, how did you do those things? Especially people who knew me in my real life. They're like, what? Like, I can't believe you did that. And I, so the thing that I go back to every time is the strength and the things that I've been able to overcome in my life when I was younger and my, you know, the traumas, the hardships, I'm like a big hill. I could get up that, no problem. A 24-hour, 48-hour race, I could do that. I was suffering since, you know, I was five. Like, this is nothing. And so when I've been able to connect to the power that came from surviving and thriving after those things, I can use that strength and I feel like I'm unstoppable. But when that guilt and that shame creeps in, or when I'm feeling like I'm not at the like I don't have an opportunity to challenge myself in some way, or I'm just trying to like get through the regular day, that's when shame and guilt can be so strong. Okay, let's take a quick break to talk about one of my favorite sponsors. I'm talking about Wild Grain. You guys know that I'm a bread lover. It makes me happy. I am never going to give it up. And anytime I've tried to have anything else, it gives me a little bit of an upset stomach and it's not very tasty and I'm always disappointed. And lucky for me, I have Wild Grain. Wild Grain is the first ever baked from frozen subscription box for everything that you want. Sourdough breads, fresh pastas, artisanal pastries, all those difficult words that are very fancy. And every single item that you get in the box is just bakes from frozen in like 25 minutes or less. No thawing required. It's super, super easy. And now you can fully customize your Wild Grain box. So you can choose any combinations of bread, pastas, pastries. You can even build a box of like only breads or only pastas or only even pastries if you're somebody like me and love those delicious croissants. And if you're somebody like me and loves delicious croissants, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/TCE to start your subscription. You heard me, free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/TCE. That's wildgrain.com/TCE, or you can use promo code TCE at checkout. All right, back to our show.
I need to talk about shame and guilt. Okay, now, yeah. There is something that really great, powerful healers know. I'm talking about the ones in India. I've been fortunate to have as a teacher, Gandhi's teacher. I mean, it's extraordinary. But, and also working with addicts, there is the truth about dark forces, okay? Negative energy, but really, okay? Now, what happens is the dark forces work on your Achilles heel. So they try to take you down. And one of the ways they do it is through sin and guilt. It has been one of the conspiracy tricks of our lifetime forever, especially with women, right? Make her feel bad. Make her feel she's second. So you cannot fall for it. And one of the ways they use it is guilt. Guilt is the division of the self. I'm not good enough. So then you're hanging out for like years. Oh my God. And so you got to come back, attach the cord, I say the iPhone cord, to your light and never allow guilt from that level, because it is the thing that is used as a weapon to take powerful people down. Do you understand dark forces always attack the light? So I need to talk about like the manual. We haven't been given a manual. Yeah. People think, oh, you'll go on a spiritual path and you'll be dancing in the moonlight. No, it's opposite. Right. You rise up in energy, the opposite rises to challenge you. And one of the weapons is to turn against yourself, and guilt and sin and punishment has been used in religion since the beginning of time. So you have to never allow it. You can never allow yourself to turn against yourself. Spiritually, it's dangerous. From that level, I need to, do you understand?
I really do. And man, the messages that we get all the time in society, like you said, especially women, about being second, being not enough, a lot of things that just keep reinforcing shame, 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 guilt, 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 everything, material stuff. You're not enough. Get, get, get. And it really changes our focus and makes it hard.
If you really analyze it, I started a show called Real Women, Positive Role Models for Women, many, many years ago, about educating where women are brainwashed. And they brainwashed us right from the get-go, actually in the first few pages of the Bible. Okay, so they tried to make, right? So that is the programming that has kept us out of our goddess power to believe it, that we are second. So my mission in life, if it had to be one woman at a time, I need to tell women they're brainwashed and they have to stop turning against themselves and believing it. Because it happened. They took things out of the Bible. They burned documents. They burned our history. His story, not her story. So by guilt and sin, it's a weapon that gets in there and makes you believe you're not good enough. You see? So it has to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so tied to anxiety and depression as well. You know, I think those thoughts, when they become overwhelming and they carry into other areas of life, that's when it becomes stuff that we can look at the DSM and say, this is depression or this is anxiety. And it builds up more and more, and then it really turns into disease in the body.
Yes, but you have to track it.
Yeah.
What is depression and what is anxiety? It's too much energy that's never been released. It got stored and it turned into something else. That's what will happen if you don't heal at the root of the root. It will turn into disease as a wake-up call to get you to do the work. So it's, you know, really, anxiety, what is that? It's not a general thing, in my opinion, working with it. It's a very specific thing in the person that where they need to go to heal. So you can't just drug it. That's temporary.
Right.
You really have to investigate it deeply to see where you need, where you got lost, where you left yourself. Where
you refer to it as getting to the root of the root, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Getting to that deeper root, like what's underneath it.
Yes.
And I would imagine that there's a lot of resistance to that. And kind of being able to, because the other, it's almost sold to us as like, just take this pill, just do this, you know, workbook and everything's fine. But there's got to be, what do you do with clients or people you work with that are kind of resistant to even believing that there can be change?
I love the question, but people that suffer are open. They're on their knees. That's the way of it.
That's such a good point. That is so wise. You're so right, because we may have like this doubting facade that like doesn't believe it, but deep down, oh, that makes me want to cry, because that's why people come to therapy. That's why you guys are listening to the podcast, because there's something that does want change and there's something that does believe that they need to move past this or through this.
Open door. So when I look at addicts or people with trauma, I think you're one step away from a new life, because you're on your knees. You're actually here. You're not hiding the pain in the closet. So you're actually further along than lots of people that are going along and hiding it and pretending it's not there. That is lethal, to pretend it's not there. So the ones that come in and say, I'm ready, I'm going to tell you what's really going on. There's the opening, and there you can begin to heal. So I love it. And they're so willing because they had enough. We've had enough. People have had enough. That's a good place to start the healing. But with some people that are resistant, it's an interesting thing. Some people have done a lot of therapy, and it's not about the trauma anymore. And it's not about the root of the root. It's about your attitude and being a victim, or you're spoiled, or you have too much money and it's something else because you've explored. And that's where sometimes people say, I don't want to talk to you right now, I'm so mad, because they don't want to look at the part of themselves.
Right. When you actually do.
Yes. Well, you're like, you need to grow up. You're acting like a 10-year-old and your mommy, you know, enabled you. And it's like, it's freaking over.
This is the firm part we were talking about.
Yeah, it's over. And now you need to hear it and I'll be your best friend. You're acting like a child. What do you want to do? Get over it. And there's that also the fork in the road where you get to choose. What do you want to do now? Be a spoiled brat? Keep being a victim? Right? So, or, you know, sometimes people go to 16, 20 rehabs. You've never healed because you didn't heal self-esteem or your attitude or the way you relate in life, and it becomes something else.
Yeah. And you know what? Even though you're talking about addiction, I feel like you can almost say the same exact thing, use those same words for people who are struggling in relationships or feel like they can't find love or feel like that's something that's not accessible to them in some way.
Well, that's why my book is about the science of love, like the spirituality of it, the spiritual science of love. And here's what I say. If you do the work, you'll have it. I love to help people find their soulmates. It's like one of my greatest things. I love to take people out of their bad relationships and into a new one. It's fantastic. So I've made it into, and I'm writing it. I've got to finish it. But it's like, do this, do this, do this, do this. And then you'll have it, right? And then you'll also sometimes meet the same pattern and you'll be tested. Do you want to do it again? That's the time to say, no, I'm done. You're a narcissist.
Yes.
You remind me of my ex. And never call me again. Bye. And that's the point of change.
Well, let's take a quick break to talk a little bit about something that's been helping me stay healthy recently. And that is Factor Meals. You know, I need to take all of the stress out of things like meal planning because, well, it stresses me out and I absolutely hate it. And Factor is there for me with delicious, ready-to-eat meals. And everything is fresh, never frozen, chef crafted, dietitian approved, all ready to eat in under 2 minutes. And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options. If you want to do keto or protein plus or vegan or all veggie, they have something for you. And they have more than 60 add-ons every week. So you can add things like I always add the protein shakes. I'm a big fan of their coffee one and also the chocolate banana. Oh, delicious. I have that as my go-to. So I can just throw it in my bag in between podcasts or between sessions. I can just down that and it gives me all the great things I need. No muss, no fuss. So head to factormeals.com/TCE50 and use code TCE50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code TCE50 at factormeals.com/TCE50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. All right, back to our show.
Yeah, it's kind of like recognizing those patterns that are familiar and instead of falling into them time and time again, recognizing that they're familiar because there's something maybe you need to learn from that, something you need to grow from that, and making a different choice when that fork in the road is presented.
Yes, I have a client who hated narcissists and I'm like, you're going to meet every narcissist in Los Angeles.
Yes.
As we do this, and you go through this process.
Well, good. I moved out of Los Angeles, so now they're all available for her to date because I was dating all of them before that because I am a narcissist magnet.
Ah, yes. Yes, yes, yes. There are many.
Magnet.
There are many. So now I have a list of things to say to a narcissist. I now created a list. Yeah, of what you could say to them.
Can you share some of those that for people who have experienced narcissists in their lives?
Well, the thing is, a lot of them are going through custody battles. You know, they have monsters for ex-husbands. So it's an energy thing. They want to keep you in the drama, right? They want to keep you embroiled in the battle. So when you're done and you're not, they have nowhere to go. They want to get you back into that, you know, dynamic. So it's like you're here. They're here. You have to go here. They can't find you. So, so you kind of leave them because all they want to do is get back at you, make you suffer because you left them. So when you're not playing that game, it's kind of over. So, yeah. So the greatest thing to say to a narcissist is to be neutral and say, you know, I'm so sorry you feel that way. And then
They do not like that. I will say the times where I've recognized narcissism in my relationships and left those, I have done so in a very calm and very cool, yeah, collected manner. And it does not go over well with them. Like, it is the opposite of how I normally am. But after some good therapy and after some good advice from people and reading some books on narcissism and, you know, kind of giving them nothing, oh man, that is the way to win with a narcissist. Do not take the bait.
Yeah, and say, I hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And then it's, you know, there's no energy that, because that's the problem. We've got to heal relationships from an energy level. I say the hooks and the chains that keep us tied. Even if you divorced someone or someone died, they could still be attached to you. I say if only the paper at the lawyer's office would stop it, but that doesn't. There's an energetic piece to the relationships that needs to be looked at head on. What you took from me, I'm taking it back. And that means what did they do in the small moments at the beginning, the smallest moments? That's where you read everything. It's all there, but it's like having an intuitive self, but you don't pay attention. So we all are intuitive. We all can read signs, but then we say, nah, no, that's, they'll change, or they didn't mean that. We cannot make excuses for people. If we get the signs, it's a red flag and you know, the button's pushed. You got to listen to it. You got to listen to what your body is telling you. Your body will tell you.
It's very difficult to break out of those patterns when people haven't had or can't experience what the alternative feels like. Or, you know, it's one thing if maybe we had healthy relationships, you know, growing up, or we saw healthy relationships modeled growing up, and then we, you know, get together with somebody who's not that great, and it's easier to go, oh, this isn't good, I'm going to get out of this. But if we've only had time and time again negative relationships, examples of being used or abused in relationships, and that feels familiar or safe or comfortable, and not safe, it never feels safe, but it just feels familiar and comfortable, it's difficult, I should say, to envision anything other than that. And that it almost feels like that's for other people and that's not for me, because I've never seen that or I've never had that. So what advice do you give someone who maybe struggles to see an alternative?
So let's just say we have different balls, that there's a relationship ball, a family ball, a business ball. And if one of those balls are working, let's say you're doing really well at business, right? You're very successful at business. Whatever you're doing energetically in your business, you need to do in relationships. If you're doing it in one place, you can do it in another. It works like that.
Yeah.
I work with a lot of men, and there's secrets to men that, you know, we could talk about for hours, but they'll be so successful in business and they'll choose a woman who will just take all their money and just break their hearts. Not a good choice. And yet in business, you would never go into business with someone like that. So they're good in that area. And I tell them, like, what are you doing there? What are your boundaries there? You're not using it in relationships. So if you feel good in one place, there's your marker.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you have a dog, even if you have a cat, even if you have a pet, even if you love going to the ocean, there it is. That feeling, what's your wow feeling? Even music. Yeah. I had a guy who didn't understand me, but he was always wearing a Mick Jagger jacket. And I'm like, it's Mick Jagger. He goes, oh, that's what you mean. The high of music. Wherever you're really high is the place to begin to feel those little bubbles. That's the place to begin.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Because that's probably where you're going to be very authentic and very, like, connected and true to yourself, and you kind of have to start from there.
Yes, or if you're a great musician, of course, I work with a lot of musicians who are addicts, very well known, and they have this amazing ability to tune in. And they think sometimes they can't do it without the drugs, but they learn that it's possible. But this connection to the higher realms comes through their music. And it's a line that you want to, that alignment you want to have in everything. So I like to align people in that feeling. That's divinity. And when you feel it, you could feel it through music, through art, through painting, through a song you love. And that is when you're not thinking and you're really present. That's the marker you want to shoot for everything.
Yeah, and there's probably things that you do, like say, you know, art is that thing that makes you feel centered and focused. There's probably an attention you give that art. There are things that you do to prepare for being creative and for that project. When you look at, you know, watch a movie or out and about, you think about how this relates to the art and maybe like sparks creativity. You're saying take those kind of skills and those techniques and put that towards, say, a relationship.
Well, let's take a quick break to talk about one of my favorite sponsors. Why? Because I love saving money, and Rocket Money helps me do exactly that. I have full control over all my subscriptions and a very clear view of my expenses, which helps me so much. It makes me really feel like it empowers me to like not be afraid to look at my bank account no matter what. It tells me my month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see all of my spending habits. They can help me create a budget, keep my spending on track, let me know when I have some leftovers, like treat myself to a fun pair of shoes, something like that. And Rocket Money can help you. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and have saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. We get messages all the time of like screenshots from listeners who go, oh my gosh, I didn't think that you were serious, but look at how they've negotiated my bills down. One customer just sent me one that was like $300 discount she's going to get a year just on one bill alone, just one. So stop wasting money on things that you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TCE. That's rocketmoney.com/TCE, rocketmoney.com/TCE. And you can thank me later for saving you so much money. All right, back to the show.
I just thought of something I haven't thought about in years. I did work with some of the mafia. I mean, I hate to say it, but it, I don't know. I'm getting myself in trouble. One of the guys was a karate champion. His reverence he put on, he did karate for all. I mean, the reverence of the respect of the art of karate was mind-blowing to me. And I thought to myself, we could work with this. If only you could do everything in that reverence. So that just reminded me of it. And he was like, yeah. Wow, yeah. And he began to build from that. He did change his life. He really had had enough of the life, which was extraordinary. But it came from the reverence of karate. So when you have a reverence for something, you could build on it and then expand it.
Yeah.
And people do have that. I have met so many addicts that have become young millionaires. They were born into trailer parks.
Yeah, you know what? I'm seeing this all over TikTok. I'm seeing this all over the place of people who are like, I was homeless. I did this. We just had a guest on last week who is now speaking at Harvard, and he was an addict who was homeless.
There you go. Because there are two roads to trauma, like you just said. It will kill you, and it will also inspire you beyond. So you've got to understand that in the timeline of your life, everything serves you. So I will have, let's say in a class, I'll do a class, everyone to sit in the middle where they are, jump into the future of what they imagine, but then go backwards to their worst times and to see how it all was a line that was relevant to getting you where you are today. We must honor the pain. we must thank it. We must thank it because it gave us so much. So many times with people energetically, they go, no, I want to get it out. Okay. But we have, there's a gift in it that taught us something. Even your ugly side, even your drug addict side made you courageous. I mean, there was a woman, she would go downtown LA and cop drugs at 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, where do you get the courage for that? We need to keep it. I mean, yeah. Who goes downtown to the right. Worst part of it? So we want to be able to sometimes have an office where two sides, their bad side and their good side, or their, you know, drug addict side and their side they want to be. And we got to merge the characters and make a deal. Which ones yeah. we want to keep?
Everything, yeah, use those skills for good, not evil.
Everything serves the higher.
And even
goal.
Some of those, there's always like a flip side, right? There's always like a flip side to you know, all of those skills that they could be used for.
Yes.
Two different means, I guess. Yes. So tell me a little bit, you know, so much of the work in addiction and even in relationships is a lot about forgiveness and kind of forgiving yourself. Can you talk about how forgiveness, or what role forgiveness plays in the process of healing from addiction or trauma?
Well, I worked with Gandhi's teacher, Srimadaji Nirmala Devi, and she says we hold guilt in this part of our body. That is the left side. Okay, so she had us put our hand on this part of the body and to repeat in silence 16 times, I am not guilty. I am not guilty. I'm the self. Because this is the part we hold that. This is the chakra we hold it. And to say, I forgive everyone because I can. So it's kind of a general forgiveness of everything. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes very hard to forgive a perpetrator or someone or a Hitler. Yeah. And that's okay.
Right.
But for yourself, to forgive yourself is very vital.
Yeah.
What you feel you didn't do will kill you. It will be the thread that you have to find. What you didn't say to the person, how you let yourself down. So in that sense, I'm all about forgiveness. Forgiveness of the self. And that is life-altering and transformational. But I'll do it in an exercise, which is here, doing that in a meditation or activation. Mm-hmm. But also going back to the part of your life, whatever age that was, and everyone knows it, I'll snap and say, what age did you stop forgiving yourself? And people will be able to bring it up and say, oh, I was 6 years old, this happened. I said, okay, bring that person, that inner child, and talk to them.
See, this is the gentle person now.
Yeah.
This is the gentle side. We got a little bit of both.
Yeah. Some people, they've been called chubby and fat. I've been working with someone yesterday, and he found his chubby self, and he was very mean to his younger self. Mm. So fat. No, tell that beautiful part of yourself that he has a lot of light.
Yeah.
And so then he saw that he needed to hug his younger self. And so that was the soul part that he needed.
I love that younger self, like inner child work. Is that something that you do a lot of or you use in your practice?
And I call it the soul. That's the part of the soul. Mm-hmm. It happens young. I call it a soul wound, which I found through doing my own work. Something happens to us around 6, 5, 6, 7. And that's the soul wound. We have to go get it. If we don't get it, we'll marry it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's a time where we're wounded and then we experience that trauma, that wound, those messages through the lens of the child and then carry that message with us our whole life until we change it. And I tell clients, it's like choosing what pair of jeans you're going to wear at age 6 and wear those forever. You're going to change your clothes. We might want to change our ideas as we outgrow them and our thoughts as we outgrow them as well. Cause I'm letting go of pants from 10 years ago, maybe five. So we got to like update our ideas and our thoughts and our beliefs as frequently as we update our wardrobe sometimes.
I love that. I'll keep that. I love it. You have to change. Definitely.
Yeah.
But relationships are a mirror. They mirror us. And a lot of times you'll hear in, which I'm sure you know, he did this, she did this, they did this. And it really could go on for years. And I always make a joke, you know, you could buy the therapist a house in Miami. But what it really does is come down to the mirror. What am I supposed to see in myself to heal? And you're just playing it out in the relationship. You're playing something out for your own soul's growth. So everything serves the soul. Everything serves the soul. And then when you know that in the manual of how the soul works, you don't necessarily have to be a victim or blame people anymore.
Yeah.
You will understand that you came to Earth karmically, whatever karma means to you, to heal certain issues of things you didn't do in another life. I mean, people may not believe that, but I'll say to them, what feels Shakespearean to you? What feels like, oh my God, this is so dramatic?
Right.
That's karma. That happened. That's not a light thing. So if it feels, if you go to a place and you feel, I've been here before, I know this person. I feel like I know this person, right? Somewhere. Your body is giving you, your cell is giving you messages. You pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. We got to give ourselves.
Yeah. Look, gotta look for what's similar, what can I do different? Yeah. I think a lot of people see those things that look familiar and, or maybe they feel connected to in some way. And I'm thinking about like, toxic relationships or people who are trauma bonded, where they feel that similarity and then they connect on that rather than looking at those patterns or those things that are mirrored in our life as opportunities for growth or to do something different. You know, it goes, oh, this is familiar, I better hold on to this, rather than saying, oh, this is familiar, how can I approach this different than last time to get a different outcome?
You can never escape your lessons. You can try to run, but whatever the truth is will come out. And it's like what's happening in the world too. And you may know this, you have to bring it up. You have to see it in order to heal it. You have to see it, otherwise you can't keep it hidden. So in the world right now, everything's coming up too. And then you have to know it's a process of alchemy. Caterpillar to butterfly, that's how we change, but we have to go through a process. So if you understand things have to work itself out, you don't get so embroiled in pain. Pain has a new meaning. Pain is an awakener and initiation by fire. Pain, as sad as it is, teaches us. So we have to have a new relationship with pain.
I always like the expression, smooth seas never made a skilled sailor. So looking at those difficult experiences and being able to face them head on, you know, so much in the work that I do with clients is talking about maybe traumas of the past, negative things that have happened to them. And there's this feeling of like, okay, now we've worked on this. I hope it never happens again. And I like to get my clients to a point where they say, I hope that this storm does come again so that I can test my skills and I can prove to myself that I have new tools. And we are only able to really test ourselves and use those tools when we're in a storm and when we're faced with these challenges and when we get that pain of life that is so universal and unavoidable. And so the better we can like lean into it and surrender. I think that's another really great word that we've kind of gone over today to that, then you can really learn from it and strengthen yourself through those storms.
So, yes. And one of the things is to get the manual on how the path works. it's not going to be easy. Don't expect it to be easy. And understand that if you want to heal, you got to walk through fire. And then whatever comes to the front door daily, you'll know what to do. Oh, you're in my face today. I better work on that today. You don't run from it. You open the door and go, okay, sit on down. You got to make peace with the devil, the bully. Come on in, right? Yeah. Come on in. And there's a secret to working with these energies. You know, I have to find out how you got so big and scary, and I need to deflate you. So you got to be able to look it in the eye. But for the reason, Sarah, is for enlightenment. It is not for the picket fence and the money. It is for
inner peace.
Right. We are all wired for it, but we were not told. We were told we have to deserve it. This is a real mission for me. So I'm getting into where my heart is. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
really,
it's not
being good. It's understanding where the light and we turn it on. They gave us the wrong friggin' story and we all fell for it. We are light beings beyond power, and we have to turn it on to feel this joy that is we're wired for. It's actually called a feminine energy. It's called, you know, it is a feminine energy, the spine. We have to enlighten it through the chakras, raise it up. And now we're coming to Easter, and people don't understand, why do we have Easter eggs? Do you know? It's a funny thing. Why do we have to have it? I know.
I love this.
Okay. Because this is the egg. This is the point.
Uh-huh.
And in order to be enlightened, it needs to be cracked. Transformation needs to crack open, raise your level, raise up, higher vibration, light, to live in this light. It cracks open and it those ones like the lotus flower comes out of the head. It is an actual physical computer rewiring and rebooting that is available to us to feel, and then we don't think because we're in thoughtless awareness.
Right.
And this is what Sri Mataji taught me. And this is what all of a sudden the addicts love because, oh my God, I feel high. Yeah. Guess what? You didn't need it. You didn't need any drugs.
Right. It's like tapping into what was already there.
We are not, it is not found in the mind. We are going beyond the mind. And that is where it is about.
I think this is such a good message. You know, and especially hearing this from somebody who works with so many celebrities and with people who I'm sure, like on paper, have it all. If they've got the big house and they've got all this and all that, and they are still dealing with those same problems of the soul. And it is, I mean, as somebody who's been on television, like I try so hard to talk to people about how people are people and problems are universal, and it doesn't matter what Instagram or social media or whatever says or presents. Those people who you look at and think, oh wow, isn't their life so easy, are dealing with the exact same problems of the soul and of the heart and of the mind that we are all dealing with. And whew,
that's what I learned. That really touches me because that's what I learned from working with celebrities. I would sometimes be, oh my God, you're here and I'm going to help you. I mean, I was sometimes astounded by who I met. And you're right. We all suffer the same.
Yeah.
And if you don't have inner peace, when you lose the fame, you will be lost because it's your identity. So, it's a thing that's happened many times. I see people who've lost their careers. Oh, football players that had 3 years in a career and now they're, you know, deflated because, you know, and they've had all the money. So it becomes something else. You know, who are you without your story? Who are you without your addiction? Who are you without your problems? Yeah. You are the light. You are here to remember it. You are here to feel it. and you are here to live without thinking so much, and be, you have to be without that monkey mind. I could have, I should have passed, yeah. But it's a place that is just, wow. I am so grateful for my tea. I am so grateful for this book.
Yeah.
And that is living. If you could live one day like that with the gratitude, wow.
Yeah.
Imagine more of those moments.
Yeah. Well, Audrey, I am so grateful for you. And I am so honored that you came on our show. And, you know, just like, this is such an important piece of our mental health and well-being, is addressing the spiritual side. And I hope for our listeners, this inspires you to open up your mind, to surrender, to explore that more authentic version of you. And Audrey, where can people find you if they want to reach out, or if they want to hear more about what you do and books coming out and everything like that?
Thank you so much for having me. I just really love this. I think you're incredible. Keep it up. Whatever you, people are so lucky. I can feel that. I'm at AudreyHope.com and the Audrey Hope on Instagram. That's where they can.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I mean, I hate to cut us off, because I just want to sit here and talk to you forever. Cause like, you just make me feel so good inside. And thank you for being a very empathetic and understanding as I, you know, burst into tears. Like, and you know, I didn't get to share this then, but also what really touched me, and where, like, I don't know how you knew this, but you talked in one sentence about survivors of sexual abuse and how we need to not be the wounded bird. And I have the lyrics of Blackbird by the Beatles on my back with the lyrics, "Take these broken wings and learn to fly," because I didn't want to be the wounded bird anymore. And isn't that amazing that you said that?
Wow. That is incredible. I know.
I was like, oh God, I'm going to cry right now. Here we go. So I just feel like this was meant to be, and wonderful
so much
to be able to have this conversation. So I really thank you for coming on here, and thank you for giving us your time, and look forward to following you and seeing what else comes out in the future.
Thank you so much, Sarah.